place in the Bible. Probably a place, I know it's a place that I've never preached. And somebody mentioned this the other day, just read over this text and brought everything began to work while they was preaching. God began to work a message in my heart. It's been building just about all week. So I want to do my best to mind the Lord, and I pray that you will too. But look with me in Genesis 29 and verse 17. I'll read the text and pray, and you can be seated. The Bible says Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. I don't want to preach this, but I'm glad our groom became a servant and did the work for us. Amen. Look at verse 21. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife. He had served those 7 years. And so he went to Laban. Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and he made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpha, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Oh, the trickster done got tricked. And not I... And he said, did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Yeah, y'all look up here just for a second. Can you imagine what's going through Leah's mind? She's just been gave away by her daddy to a man that don't even want her. And he's fixing to agree with her daddy to work for her younger sister. Are y'all catching this? Laban said, it must not be done in our country. Verse 26. To give the younger before the firstborn to fulfill her week. And we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. Can you imagine? Fulfilling the week with Jacob. Knowing he's just doing it because he wants Rachel. And he gave him Rachel. Laban gave Jacob Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in unto her and unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah. And served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw, look at verse 31. Here's my text today. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened up her womb. But Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon or Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons, therefore his name, called Levi. Verse number 35. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left barren. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus that you'd help us to preach in the power, Lord, of the Holy Ghost. We pray, God, that we do our best to mind you. Get out of the way. May your will be done. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you glory. We ask, God, that you'd breathe on the service and help every soul. God, I'm a praying. God, that I wouldn't preach in my own power. God, that I have to have your unction and your power. Lord, I can't do it without you. I'm grateful you gave me the thought. I'm grateful it's been turning to my soul. I'm grateful it's been building. I'm grateful you've helped me with it. And God, I'm glad for what you've let me hear and what you've let me see. But God, if it just sticks with me, it won't help nobody. Help me to be a vessel. Preach through me to the hearts of souls. Save every sinner, touch every saint. Thank you, God, for all you do. And God, I'm begging you, help me to feed your sheep. Help me to feed your lamb. Help me to be encouragement to them that's beat up, beat down, bruised, and Lord, fighting the devil all week. Help me to help them. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Pray. The great shepherd, our chief shepherd, our shepherd of the soul. Help me now to be your under shepherd. In Jesus' name, I pray and thank you. Amen. You can be seated. If the Lord would help me for a little while this morning, I want to preach on this thought. When you are not the pick of the litter. I want to preach to you today on this thought. What do you think about the person who feels like they're second best? Yeah. Have you ever felt like you were picked over? Have you ever felt like you were unloved, like you were second rate, like you were the runt of the litter? Do you feel left out? Can I tell you, if you're like that this morning and you feel left out, if you feel like you're not the pick of the litter, if you feel like you're second rate, if you feel like you're hated, can I tell you this morning on the authority of the Word of God, hallelujah, that God will notice you and God will love you and He will take affliction and turn it into affection. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior we have today. Yeah. Now, to make sure we're all on the same page, I've got to do a little introduction. The introduction, it's going to be a little longer than the message, so I need you to listen to me. The introduction has to do with reaping what you've sown. Right. The Bible declares a New Testament truth and Old Testament reality that what a man sows, that he's also going to reap. Right. I am grateful today that on the calculator of reaping, that there is a big button in the center and you can't help but hit it. Every time you figure up your reaping, it's a big button called grace. And thank God I'm reaping better than I ever sowed. God, it's because grace keeps getting hit on the calculator of God's reap. I say thank you, Lord. I don't want to reap the things I've sown. But can I say, Christian, listen, we're going to reap what we sow. Let's seek God's face. Let's get forgiveness this morning. You say, preacher, show me in the Bible. Well, look with me in verse number 25. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? You see, in the morning he had a discovery. The woman that he had laid with, the woman that the fish, they made a big feast, had a big party, went through the ceremony. The woman he'd worked for 7 years, he found out as the trickster, there was somebody trickier than him. It was his mama's brother, his uncle Laban. And he had went over there and Laban had tricked him. Oh, he found a discovery. He found deceit. But I'm going to tell you what he found in verse 25. What he found right now was dividends. What he found out was there's going to be reaping for what he had sowed. See, there's reaping in the father. You remember that Jacob deceived his father. And his deception has to do with the father. It's his father-in-law. Are y'all with me? It'll help if y'all say amen. We'll get through this introduction real quick. So there's a reaping concerning the father. There's a reaping concerning the eldest. You remember Jacob's deception had to do with the deception that he was Esau, the eldest son, and not Jacob. Thank God, can I tell you that Jacob's deception had to do with the eldest, amen, being mistaken for the youngest. Are y'all with me? die. And so there is a reaping in the father. There is a reaping in the eldest. But there's a reaping in the kissing. Do you remember with me that it was Jacob that had went and kissed his father, Isaac? And remember, he did it deceitfully. He kissed him in Genesis 27. I believe it's 27. And the Bible says that when he kissed his daddy, he thought it was Esau that was kissing him. But notice in our text that he's reaping now what he had sowed in his past. And his reaping involved kissing. There were kissing going on in the tent. He thought he was kissing Rachel. But it wasn't Rachel that they was kissing. There was a reaping in the father, a reaping in the eldest, and a reaping in the kissing. But there was a reaping, in the favorite. You remember Jacob deceived his daddy, making him think, that he was his daddy's favorite son, Esau. But Jacob was deceived and didn't get his favorite. Can I tell you today, there'll be a reaping for what you be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's a reaping in the favorite. Then there's a reaping in the collaborating. You remember that Jacob had collaborated with his mama, his parent, and deceived his daddy. Leah has collaborated with her daddy. There's a reaping. You say, preacher, it's reaping that specific? You better thank God you live on this side of Calvary. You better thank God for grace. You don't want to reap in your children what you've sowed in your childhood. You don't want to reap. Thank God for the button of grace. There's a reaping of ignorance. Remember, Isaac thought he was blessing another person. And now Jacob thought he was loving another person. But he was loving on Leah. He loved her ignorantly. And he got blessed ignorantly. There's a reaping in the feast. If you look in our text in verse number 22, her daddy gathered together all the men of the place and he made a feast. Y'all do remember that a special meal was involved when Jacob deceived his daddy. And now there's a meal involved when Jacob's getting deceived. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it works that way with us as a Christian. You better thank God for grace. I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, I have reaped better than I've ever sowed. I'm glad I've, by grace, I have reaped better than I have sowed. I'm interested today in this thought. What do you do when you're not the pick of the litter? What do you do when you feel like you're second best? Notice with me the capability of Leah. Look with me at verse 31. The Bible said that she had a womb. There was no birth defect. She was capable of bearing a child. So there is a capability of Leah. But notice the control of the Lord. The Bible said he opened her womb. I'm glad God is in the opening of a womb and in the closing of a womb. If God has trusted you with children today, they are a heritage of God. And you will give account on how you've handled his heritage. Amen. There's the control of the Lord. Sometimes, let me run this rabbit. It jumped up and I need to kill it, skin it, eat some rabbit soup right quick. Let me ask y'all a question. Do you ever feel in your life God's plumb out of control? You feel like things are out of control and God is out of control in your life? There's never been a time when God ain't in control. There's never a time when God don't know what's going on. I'm glad God does know what's going on. The control of the Lord. The capability of Leah. But here's what I'm interested in this morning. The cascading love that's poured on Leah from the Lord. Notice what the Bible says. Look at her presentation. She comes on the scene. And the Bible says she's tender-eyed. That intrigued me. I'm trying to figure out what does that tender-eyed mean. And so I started looking it up. One man said it this, she is sick and tired of life. That word tender gives the idea of droopy. You see, in that culture, and specifically in that area, everybody who was beautiful had beautiful eyes. Matter of fact, women were known for their beauty because of their eyes, but not Leah. So you know what it's saying? When it says that Leah was tender-eyed, here's what it's saying. She had sluggish eyes, dull eyes, droopy eyes, anemic eyes, colorless. In other words, this is what it said about Leah. She was nice and she could cook. That's about it. Wasn't nothing about her to look at. Nobody really wanted her. She's the eldest daughter. And normally in that culture, the eldest daughter gets married. We see that in our text in Genesis 29. Oh, but can I tell you today, hey, it might be that man sees you as unattractive. You might feel unappreciated. You might feel given away. You might feel rejected. You might feel unwanted. But ain't that the way that men see us? They've always seen the pride of Christ as a rejected crowd, as an unappreciated crowd. They don't love you. They don't appreciate you. You feel second rate. But can I say, there's somebody that's looking on from heaven that loves you, and he picks you. If man don't pick you from the litter, he'll pick you in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God the contrast of her appearance. We see it in verse 17. The Bible said Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful. That's the contrast between these. Oh, yes. But thank God there's conflict. Look at what the Bible says in verse 36. I'm sorry, verse 26. Laban said it was not be so done in our country to give the younger before their firstborn. There's a conflict. Oh no, she can't be given. No, Rachel can't go. There's a conflict. It's against my culture. Oh, I've got to give you Leah. Now, I would to God he'd probably told him that. I bet you he's thinking, why didn't you tell me that when I was working 7 years? Amen. But he didn't. Hallelujah. You say, Christian, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm just saying, church, the world looks at you as unfavorable. Yeah. They look at you as they look at you as second rate. They look at you like, hey, I mean, what do you do when you don't know what to do? When you feel like you're just left out, not loved, and it seems like you're just second rate. But can I tell you, there's a God that loves you, and he'll look at your affliction and transform your affliction to affection. Look with me in verse 31. Let's walk down the text, unpack this scripture this morning. Notice this, when you feel second rate. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. In verse 32, Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. The name there, Reuben, carries the thought or the idea. She even says it. She said, hey, man, I bare a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, and now therefore my husband will love me. The idea with Reuben is, thank God, though I'm afflicted, I have affection. And so when you think about Reuben, you think about affection. She's saying, based on a birth of a son, he's going to love me. Can I say based on the birth of a son, amen, in Bethlehem, I'm glad the groom loves me. Based on the birth, my affliction has turned into affection, amen. Woo, hallelujah. Feel second rate, unloved, even hated, despised. The idea in that word hated means to be loved so little that it looks like hate. Oh, I'm glad. I know there's some people out here in this world loves you, but if you compare it to how much God loves you, oh, I'm thankful. I'm loved. He shows affection. I'm glad, folks, no matter how many people think, and let me run one more rabbit. Great God in heaven, they're popping up. Let me just say this. If you marry out of the will of God, you're going to be afflicted in your marriage too. Amen. I just won't go ahead and say that. Amen. Amen, preacher. Notice this, she said, this first child has named Reuben. It's speaking of love because he has looked on me. Ain't you glad God looks on you in love? Ain't you glad when God sees you, he sees the blood of the Lamb? Ain't you glad when he sees you, he don't see you full of hatred? Matter of fact, at Calvary, you see man at his worst and God at his best. Oh, my God, I'm so glad he just loved me, church. I'm glad he loved me. He was born because he loved me. He came in this world because he loved me. Oh, Leah conceived by her son. She called his name Reuben. Now, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Therefore my husband will love me. The Bible said in verse number 33, and she conceived again by her son. And said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. See, she's got a plight. She's hated, not only by Jacob, but by her sister Rachel. She's got a pain in her heart because while she's spending a week with her husband by herself, he's going to work 7 more years for another woman. I mean, this is a pain that kills her. This is a pain, not only the outward hate, but there's an inward pain. And we see Leah, she's in a mess, Brother Jeremy. Hated by men, but loved by God. Hey, God gonna love her and give her 4 babies. Hey, man, the first time she said, God's looked on my affliction and he loves me. He's gave me affection. But then when we get in verse number 33, he said, God's looked at me. God's heard me. God ain't just looked at me. He's heard my prayers. Woo! And thank God with Simeon. This word Simeon means an answer. God's heard me. God's gave me an answer. Hey, church, ain't you glad that God will hear your prayers and answer them? He's turned hate into help. God hears the prayers of his people. But then the Bible said in verse 34, she conceived again. Now get this, church. And she bare a son. She conceived again. She made a prayer. Notice what it said. Bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joining to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name shall be called Levi. Levi is going to be the head of that tribe that is going to be the priest of the Lord. They are picturesque of the priesthood of the believer. What she's saying is, I've been alienated, but now I'm going to be attached. Amen. That word there, hey, I'm glad God gave her adoration. He loved her. Hey, thank God for the love of God. I'm glad he answered her prayer. But right here, there's an atonement made because it's through Levi that they can have access to the holies of holies. Amen. But it's the third son. And the threefold cords shall not be utterly broken. And she's thinking, well, I've got 3 sons. Now my husband will be bound to me and nothing shall separate us. Well, I'm glad to report that based on the third day, hallelujah, he got up from the grave. And based on the third day, thank God he got up from the grave. And we have a love that joins us to our groom. And Romans 8 says, nothing shall separate us. We've been attached. We've been made one. We've cleaved to our groom. Thank God he binds us. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, I feel like Leah is a picture of us. We can learn something from the life of Leah. That's why I'm here this morning. Because when you feel like you're not the pick of the litter, when you feel like your parents maybe have stepped over you to help everybody else but you, when you feel like you're despised by everybody in the world, there's a God that loves you and sees your affliction and shows you affection. When men hate you, he loves you. Oh, can I say glory? And then there may be some here today and say, preacher, I just feel like God ain't heard my prayers. Can I tell you today that God will hear your prayers? If you'll notice something about Leah, she's always giving God glory. She's always crediting God. In every verse, surely the Lord, because the Lord. And verse number 34, the Bible says, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name shall be called Levi. But in glorifying the Lord, at each point, she's always concerned about herself. Until she gets to number 4. And the Bible says this. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she ain't saying nothing about her, about herself and her husband. She ain't saying nothing about hate. She ain't saying, no. Now, she said, now will I praise the Lord and caused his name Judah. Oh, thank God for affection. Thank God for attachment. Thank God for an answer. But thank God for some adoration, for some worship. If we'll praise God more and complain less, then we'll go ahead and have ourselves a praising time too. She said, I'm no longer going to focus on me. I'm not complaining about me. I'm not griping about me. I'll probably always be hated. I'll always be second rate. I know I'll be despised. That's okay. I'm going to praise the Lord. There's a son born, and I'm going to praise him. There's a son born. He shows me affection. There's a son born. He's going to answer prayer. And y'all do know that what Levi couldn't do, God used Judah to do. Because, thank God, hey, he wasn't a priest after Levi. He was a priest out of Judah, sprang up out of Judah, the root of Jesse. Hallelujah, the line of the tribe of Judah. She gave birth to the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus Christ. Leah, the despised, got to be involved in getting Jesus here. Oh, can I say today, you feel despised, but you can be involved in getting Jesus to somebody else. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ come on the scene. Men ought to praise God. Hey, listen. You look in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1 and 2. Look, matter of fact, just flip over. Hebrews. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll make sure you know I ain't quoting Almanac. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 8. I like this verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. We have such a high priest who has sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Oh, yes. You can go on and read all that down through there, but go down to verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house, and with the house, and with the house, and with the house of Judah. Woo! One day, already now I believe in heaven. Already now I believe in heaven. But one day I'm going to get to ask Leah. Maybe if I'm even thinking in my mind, I'll probably be shouting with Jesus. But I'm going to think in my mind. I said, hey, can you tell me, Leah, what was it like when you woke up in glory and you realized, thank God that you had not only have 6 sons, because she's going to have more. Amen. She's going to have 2 more sons and another daughter. Hey, what'd you think, Leah, when you woke up and see not only are you the grandmother of Judah, but through Judah, there's a whole bunch of other Gentiles and Jews who have come through that line of the Messiah. Woo! I'm so glad today. You may feel last, but don't forget the principle. The last shall be first. Are y'all with me? You may feel like it. May feel like it. You say, well, say, preacher, my position ain't too good. And all said and done, oh, Leah's going to have a special place. She's going to have a special position. Think about it like this. Here's what our text says. Hallelujah. She was blessed with a birthing And matter of fact, if you look at, you can turn over to Ruth chapter number 4. And you know what they're talking to Ruth. You know what they're talking to Ruth about. They're saying, I hope God blesses your womb. And what was the actual verse? God blesses your womb. The Lord make the woman who was coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. That's Leah, the despised one, the rejected one. I mean, she's had a birthing of 6 children. Hey, my boys, and not counting one daughter. And I ain't even dealt with them today. There's another called Issachar. And she thought for Issachar, she got a little bit of victory underneath her belt. And she thought she had something to do with Issachar. And tried to say, well, God's rewarded my evil deeds for giving my handmaiden. I'm going to tell you, Christian, you can get like that. You can be blessed and blessed. And God hears your prayers. You enjoy the affection of God. You enjoy the adoration of God. You get to worship God. You get to pray to God. You get to talk to God. You get made one with God. And if you don't watch it, you'll let your guard down. That sorry stinking devil will let you think you're getting away with your sin. And you'll convince yourself by turning the grace of God into lasciviousness that by your and through your evil deeds and disobedience, laying out of church, doing wicked, ungodly things, that God's going to bless. No, 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 no. God's going to bless you simply and purely and totally because of and out of grace. That's it. Grace. It's the grace of God. She had another. Amen. She tried to act like she's earned her wages. Oh no, she didn't earn nothing. She didn't earn no wages. You find out in Genesis 30:17-19. Everybody say amen. Then she had another son named Zebulun. And she said, well, I've had this one. Thank God this must mean she's still in that place. She's in a bad place right now. She said, oh my, it's going to cause my struggling to cease. Because Zebulun means to dwell with. Now he'll live with me. But he found out, she found out right quick, he wasn't going to live with her. And she ended up having another one. She kept trying to have babies. I think she had something to do with it. So she finally had a daughter named Dinah. And y'all remember about Dinah? Y'all remember about her? She always called Jacob trouble. She was a woman that ran around with women of this world. Y'all look up at this preacher. If there's somebody that comes to this church or another church and you see them hugged up with their boyfriend on Instagram, on Facebook, on social media, then don't talk to that person. Hang around with that person. You love on them. You tell them you love them. You tell them you miss them in church, but don't go out to eat with them. Don't go dancing with them. Amen! Preacher! That's exactly right. It's preaching time. Y'all okay? Take a deep breath. Hallelujah. Y'all listen to this preacher. I'm about sick and tired of that wicked man. You ain't got no business lip locking, kissing, hugging, holding on somebody's hand, acting like that's your boyfriend, like your husband. Don't touch them before you marry them. Preach on, preacher. It's still right. I don't care what MTV, they don't raise my kids. Somebody say amen. Amen. HBO don't raise my kids. Showtime ain't setting my standards. Cinemax ain't giving me the ideas which I raise my children by. It ought to be this book, Bible, this book right here, book divine. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Limited touching, least a liberal touching. I ain't even got to be in the same room. I just think about touching my wife and it stirs me up. I'm telling, don't tell me touching that person ain't going to bother you. You are lying. Amen, preacher. Yes, sir. Dinah was the kind of girl that hung around worldly people. And she hung around worldly people. It caused her a moral problem. And you find out what happened. She got to running with the wrong women, going where the wrong men was. And one of them men wanted her so bad, he induced her into laying with him. Amen, amen, amen. And she did. And she lost her virginity and got pregnant. And you know what happened? Jacob's son went and killed all of them, convinced them to circumcise themselves. While they was weak, they killed them. And the Bible said that Jacob looked at her and looked at them boys and said, you guys have made my testimony to stink in this land. Are you going to make your mom and daddy's testimony a stinking testimony or a blessed testimony? Are y'all with me, church? Somehow or another, she got right with God. Somehow or another, she got right with God. I believe it when death hit her. You see, she's always been jockeying for first. She's always felt second rate. She's always felt left out. Preacher. This man said, Preacher, I was mobilized in Charlotte, North Carolina. We was back in the war on terror. And pastoring here, driving that old Toyota truck. Gas is almost $5 a gallon. But I didn't care. Military was paying for me to place live over there, helping me pay my rent at the house. That's what I'm doing, renting. Y'all think I'm buying, but I'm really renting it from Wells Fargo. Amen. I got home one day. I broke down and told my wife. While we were getting ready, ministering to the soldiers, that was my job. Oh, what a prayer place. Them fixing to go over, and somebody wasn't going to make it back. I'm getting to meet their families. If something happens while they're over, I got to go inform the family. Got to go talk to them. This boy come up to me one time. He said, Preacher. I said, what's going on? You worried about going over? He said, no, I'm not going over. I'm staying stateside. He said, but I heard you preach today, because I'd preach every chance I get. That's when we was handing out the military Bibles all over the place. He said, I heard you preach today. I want to tell you a story. He said, I was in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He said, my wife was pregnant. The man telling me this, true. He said, it got desperate. They flew her by helicopter, and I had to drive to another hospital. When we got there, I walked into the room, and I didn't see my baby. My wife was bawling. They had to do a C-section. And I said, where's my youngin'? Where's my youngin'? And I seen something move under a black tarp. He said, is that my baby you put over like trash? I said, sir, you don't want to look at it. It's so deformed. He went over and it was the most deformed legs, arms. It's the most deformed ball. It wasn't going to live. He said, sir, it's only going to live a few hours. He said, I don't care. That's my baby.
Amen.
He said, preacher, I loved on that baby for 2 hours. Me and my wife loved on that baby. It was the prettiest thing we'd ever seen. We wasn't going to just throw her in the trash. It might not have been them doctors' pick of the litter, but it sure was ours. And I thought to myself, boy, ain't that the way God is? I made some people say, you ain't no good. You just an old runt. You ain't done nothing to cause trouble. Oh, but God looks at us with eyes of affection, and with they won't answer our prayers, wanting us to worship Him. He went and died for us at Calvary. He shed His own blood. The great high priest, by His own blood, offered up on the cross of Calvary, gave us access to the Holy. Hallelujah. He made a way for us to be joined together and attached and cleaved together, and nothing's going to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, the world says nothing, but God says something. I'm glad He sees us as precious.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, brother, she got to be a part of the birthing. Then she got to be a part of the thanking. She's thanking God every time, thanking God, because of God, because of the Lord. He's seen me, He's heard me, He's looked at me, He's joined it, He's made a way for me and my groom to be together. Oh, I could never have been with my groom if it had not been for the Lord. Hey, hallelujah. Thank God she held on to some hope. She kept wanting and trusting and believing in God for blessings. And God did bless her. He blessed her with 6 boys. And Ruth, she's recorded as one of them women that built Israel, God's chosen people, the apple of God's eyes. She's mentioned, Ruth, you need to be like her and like Rachel. Y'all, you need to be like her. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. God is using this girl. She feels like she's unappreciated. But remember, the last is going to be first. And things is going to turn around. She's blessed here. But she's going to be blessed not only in life, but in death. And then she's going to be blessed in the future. She's already blessed in the future. The Messiah came through her. But listen, I want you to listen to this right here, church. The culmination of everything that Leah went through. In the end of her life, if you turn over to Genesis 49. Hallelujah. Look over in Genesis 49. Look at verse 29. And he charged them and said unto them, This is Jacob's burial instructions. Now Rachel's done died. Y'all get this picture right here. Leah has always wanted to be the apple of Jacob's eye. She's always wanted his affection, his love. Her son was convinced and given mandrakes. Mandrakes and that were believed to be to help a woman get fertile. And she gave up mandrakes so that Rachel might get fertile and that she might have one more experience with the groom. She's willing to do anything. And at the end of her life, Rachel dies. And I believe death of Rachel is what made her realize, hallelujah. That's what got her back. That's what jarred her. Jarred her from thinking she is getting away with her sin. Jarred her from thinking she was earning blessings from God. It jarred her, made her realize it's only by grace that I'm right here where I'm at. Oh, thank God for grace. I believe it's death because we don't know where Rachel died. She died in the previous chapters and she was buried in a different place. But guess who's living in Canaan with her husband? Leah. And she ain't just the mother of six. She's the mother of all 12. Amen. She's playing house with daddy. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't nothing. She's happy. She's in the home in Canaan land. But then I love this in death. Y'all look at this. And he charged them. Genesis 49, verse 29. And said unto them, I am to be gathered into my people. Bury me with my father and the cave that is in the field of Ephron, the Hittite, and the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham brought with the field of Ephron, the Hittite, for possession of a burying place. And there they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. And there they buried Isaac and Jake and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. She was laid to rest with Jacob. Not Rachel. Can I simply say this? Say, preacher, what lesson does that teach us? Well, it teaches a whole lot. If you ain't got it already, let me give you three more. No matter how much you may be disliked or hated, God will hear our prayers and intervene for you, just like he did Leah. No matter how much you feel like you're looked over, feel like you're rejected, your dignity and status was not based and is not based upon man, but based upon what God has done for you and through you. Amen. So the next time you feel like you're left out or picked over, just remember this. There's a God that loves you, and he's a listening, and he's a looking, and he ain't going to let you be left out. You may feel unincluded. And I don't know if you ever felt this way, but I felt bad. I remember being playing out there on the ball field and being out there with a group of about 12 people, and I'm watching them. They pick two captains, and they're picking everybody. I've seen there. And I was always blessed. I got picked first, or at least in the first few, and I was thankful for that. But I always felt bad for the one that nobody wanted. So when I got captain, you know what I do? I get the run of the litter. I mean, I'm trying to say I was lost. I never liked nobody to be picked on. I hated that. I couldn't stand that atmosphere. I didn't like it. And so I'd pick that little one. And you know what? Sometimes it would blow their mind. I had one little boy nobody wanted. He kept not. When I got to be captain, I picked him. He hit a home run the first time up. I thought, whoa, hallelujah. I picked him up and ran him around the bases. I thought to myself, great God in heaven, y'all keep on not picking him. I'm telling you, that's the way God is. You may feel like you ain't no count, no good for nothing, and God will never use you, and you got sideways on God and got to living wicked, and still you felt like you was getting away with something, felt like you was hurting. Oh, God, he still loves you, and it's all because of grace. He's going to take care of you. He ain't forgot you. He loves you. Amen. And when you feel second rate and you feel left out, God always will look on in loving eyes and come to you. He'll hear your prayer. He'll let you praise. And one day there's going to be a presentation. And it won't be your droopy eyes. And it won't be what man thinks about you. But he'll present you a chaste virgin, holy, without wrinkle, and without spot. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand to your feet. Jacob, you come.